some of the nicest harmonies of all time, I think. Simon and Garfunkel. That was The Boxer. It's time for our wellness talk, which is underwritten by Body IQ, Physical Therapy, and Yoga, teaching Haines residents the building blocks for a happy, healthy life, offering weekly group and private yoga classes and strength training, physical, speech, and occupational therapy by appointment, and its new location is at Tower Road. More information can be found at 766-2600 and on the Body IQ Facebook page. Joining us this morning is Dr. Nora Collins. She's a physical therapist from Oregon, covering for Dr. Marnie Hartman of Body IQ in Haines. Good morning, Dr. Collins.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Oh, and you had trudged through the ice and snow.
Beautiful outside.
Yeah. I guess that's not something foreign, though, in Oregon, or is it?
No, certain parts of Oregon. It's like a snow globe. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful here.
Oh, good. Well, you're a physical therapist, a doctor of physical therapy, and I know that covers a range of ways to help people. Would you like to highlight a few of them? But I know you do have an expertise in pelvic health. So
Right. We've
got you in town covering for Dr. Marnie Hartman. So it'd be good to hear about that as well.
Great. Well, thank you for inviting me. I wanted to do a big shout out to Marnie Hartman for bringing me here to this beautiful community of Haines. It's just a beautiful outside and great community. So I just can't thank you enough. Mm. So you've got a great physical therapist here who has expertise in musculoskeletal, pediatric, geriatric. I have a specialty in pelvic health, and I did that as sort of a selfish reason because I had issues with incontinence. And at an early age in my 30s, I had two children very close to one another and was playing tennis with some friends of mine. And every time I'd hit the ball or laugh, I'd leak.
Gee.
So, it was very embarrassing. And I thought, there has got to be something I can do about this. So I dove in and found people to teach me and show me what to do. And I can say from a personal experience that you can get help and you can improve.
Mm-hmm. Something can be done for
definitely. This. Just have to start the conversation. And in our society, it's not necessarily the topic of conversation everybody wants to have, but we all have mothers, sisters, children, husbands, and it affects a large percentage of our population. And the more we talk about it and learn about it, the more we can get back in control.
Mm. Where do you begin?
Well, what I typically do is I have patients start with avoiding diary. So if you're out there listening and you have a piece of paper, I just want you to start writing down a few columns. Try to keep it as simple as possible because everything I have patients do, I've done myself. And I know how it can help. And I also know how overwhelming it can be. So I start with avoiding diary just so you get to know your bladder. You know, our muscles and bones, we can keep young. In our skin, we can keep young. But our organs have a shelf life.
Huh.
So the nicer we are to our organs and we learn about them, the better quality of life we have. Then the bladder's just one incidence of it. So if you have your piece of paper, what you do is you write down a column, time of day, and just start jotting down 12 a.m., 1, 2, 3, every hour until you get to 11 o'clock p.m. And then the next column is you can do this if you'd like. I just say the type of fluid intake. So what you drink, and you can just do a guesstimate, a cup, a half a cup, of whatever you're drinking. And then the next column is the amount voided. And I do this by counting Mississippis. So you don't have to measure into a hat. You can do this anywhere. As soon as you start, your urine starts to flow, you just start counting Mississippis.
How would you do that?
Okay. So as soon as you sit on the toilet and your urine is coming out, it's Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3. It's not scientific, but it's functional. Mm-hmm. And then you write down how many Mississippis. Mm-hmm. And then the next column is if you did have a leak, if it was a small, medium, or large leak. And then the activity that you had with the leakage. And that, from my own personal experience, taught me a lot about my bladder, my behavioral patterns that were contributing to my incontinence, or how I could help the muscle that lines the bladder be more effective.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. It's, and I do typically 2 days. So you're two, you know, if you do a day at work and a day at home, so you can sort of look and see and take an analysis of your habits, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's how I have patients start.
I'm very curious if what people drink, what they list in the second column. Was that the second column, what we drink?
Yes, yeah, the amount of food. Mm-hmm. There's food and fluid.
Mm-hmm. Do they factor in majorly or minorly?
They do. Okay. They can. Mm-hmm. There are bladder irritants. And I give my patients a sheet of paper of bladder irritants, and I sort of even hate to bring them up because you know it's going to be chocolate.
Yeah.
And so I know I listened to your talk about chocolate, which was amazingly a great conversation. So there's just bladder irritants that can contribute to issues that you're having. So if you're aware of these, the foods that cause worsening symptoms for most people are coffee, tea, caffeinated soda, alcoholic beverages, medicines with caffeine, chocolate, and smoking. Hmm. And then there are foods that are worse for some people. Milk and milk products, artificial sweeteners, citrus juices and fruits, tomato and tomato-based products, highly spiced food, sugar and honey, and corn syrup. So I have to give you something that's not irritating. Mm-hmm. So the things that aren't irritating are grape juice, cranberry juice, cherry juice, apple juice, water, prunes, and plums. So when I have patients come in and I give them this daunting list of things that are irritating their bladder, it's depressing. So what I tell people, because I want to keep support the coffee people in town, because I know you have amazing coffee here. So if you drink coffee or tea, if you just have a cup of water right beside it, you sip your coffee, you sip some water.
We can do that.
You dilute it. So you can. Mm-hmm. That's what they do in Croatia. They have a little cup of coffee and they have a nice glass of water. And they, with every sip of coffee, they sip water. So you can dilute it. So for some people, having a warm beverage is just, it's the comfort thing. So I had a female dump truck driver who was having serious issues with incontinence because she couldn't leave her load. So she started drinking warm water. And that helped her feel like she was having coffee because it gave her that warm feeling. So if you're going to drink your coffee, and, you know, it's cold in Haines, so you sip your coffee, sip warm water.
Sip warm water with your coffee. Okay, I'm very curious what you think about decaffeinated coffee and tea.
Same deal. If there's color in the beverage, you need to dilute it.
Okay, that's a good rule of thumb.
Yep, just have your water with it. And Americans in particular, it's unfortunate. We have the most drinkable water in the world, and we just don't drink water. So, which leads me to another issue that can happen. So a lot of people who have incontinence decrease their water intake because then they figure, I won't leak, I won't have to go as much. But in essence, that actually concentrates your urine and irritates the bladder and defeats the purpose of what you're really trying to do. So if you don't mind me kind of telling people about the different kinds of incontinence.
I think that's a great idea. We should know this.
There are basically three different types of incontinence. And that's another thing. When people come to see me, I ask what activities are, you know, when are you leaking? What activities are you doing? And the reason we ask this is because stress incontinence is common in younger women. It's highest in the 45 to 49 year old population. And it's basically when you leak, when you sneeze or cough or jump or run, you're leaking with activity. So the pelvic floor muscles, the muscles between your pubic bone and your tailbone aren't strong and they're not supporting you as they could be. Doesn't mean they're necessarily weak. Sometimes it's actually a high tone. People are so afraid they're going to leak that they keep that muscle on. It's like contracting your biceps all the time. And there's no way you're going to lift up a box if your biceps are shortened. So sometimes it can be a high resting tone for the pelvic floor. And that's what we talk about together. So that's stress incontinence. Then urge incontinence is when there's a few drops to completely emptying or soaking your undergarments because the bladder, the muscle that lines the bladder, is overactive. Those are the incidents when you just get a strong urge to urinate and you like put the key in the door and it's like you just don't make it. That urge is so strong. So that tells me that there's a bit of a miscommunication between the muscle that lines the bladder, called the detrusor, and the pelvic floor muscles. Mm-hmm. So we work on better communication. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's a mix of both. So learning about the different types can help, definitely help your quality of life and help you get under control. There's another one that's called overflow. And that's basically when your bladder is just full. It's like how they teach this in a class is like you're walking down the hall with a cup of water that's completely full and you walk as fast as you can and the water spills in the hallway. That can happen with your bladder. Something neurologically isn't working. The communication has gotten skewed. And so the sphincters that are the little doors that close the wall, the bladder and the pelvic floor, they're the communicators. So the pelvic floor muscles tighten when the detrusor, the bladder's full. And they close the urethra and help you walk to the bathroom.
That's fascinating.
If
how
there's
that works.
A miscommunication mm-hmm. or these muscles are too tight, or mm-hmm. then you'll leak. Mm. So it's just getting things back in. You know, it's like when your computer's not working right. You can shut it off for 30 seconds and then hope it'll start up again. And in essence, we do the same with your nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, to help you mm-hmm. be continent.
Do you think we should change our habits if, you know you've got to go, but you don't have time right now and you'll just wait and it escalates and then you really, really got to go, but you still kind of wait because you don't have time. How should we just make the time and go?
That is, yes, exactly. Okay. That's where you do a avoiding diary to see. It's like, wait a minute. It's only been half an hour and I haven't had anything to drink. I mean, I learned this taking a class. I had just gone to the bathroom and in half an hour I had to go again. I said, wait a minute. I didn't even have anything to drink. So learning about that and making sure you empty completely when you do urinate is also a big factor. I've got to say that the occupation I see the most is teachers and nurses. They don't get the opportunity to use the restroom oftentimes, and so their bladder habits, not every teacher out there, I hope you don't think, but I'm just saying those habits are really important, and they start as a child. You know, so we see, my youngest patient has been a 7-year-old, my oldest patient has been 102, and they got better.
Wow.
Just learning about how to relax the muscles, how to empty completely. So there's help out there is the big message that I want people to get.
Yes. So we shouldn't hold the whole urine in the bladder. If you feel you have to go, you should go and not delay. Yeah.
And then when you go to the bathroom, count your Mississippis. Mm-hmm. A healthy bladder urinates 8 Mississippis. So if you're going 2 or 3 Mississippis, it's like, whoa. Probably didn't really need to go, but I'm so fearful that I'm going to leak. These muscles are really interesting, the ones that help us control our urine, because they're governed by the part of the brain that also, you know, controls your muscles, the nervous system that helps you, you know, contract your biceps, relax your biceps, bend your knee, straighten your knee. Huh. But they're also governed by the autonomic nervous system, which is the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic. The sympathetic nervous system is the fight or flight, lying in the jungle, pee and run. And for a lot of people, that system is running their urinary system. Whereas the parasympathetic are relax, I've got this, you need to tighten up pelvic floor so I can relax the bladder and walk to the bathroom in control. Mm-hmm. So it's getting that system.
Yeah, one can override the other.
Definitely.
Yeah, how interesting, Dr. Collins. This is fascinating information. Wow. So do our core muscles have anything to do with the bladder? Like if we strengthen our core, does that help?
It does, and the pelvic floor is the forgotten part of the core. Huh. It's the bottom. It's the base of our support. So core strengthening, which is a great word, and people everywhere know about it around the world. It's the trunk muscles. It's the muscles that are around our trunk and the bottom of our trunk. So the muscles between the pubic bone and tailbone, there's three layers of muscles. They also encompass your hip rotators and your abdominal muscles. So hugely important. The other thing that just doing some research is about obesity. And obesity triples the incidence of urinary tract incontinence. Mm. So losing weight and getting, you know, belly fat off your torso can really help the bladder. And walking. Walking's just a great way for you to exercise all the muscles, pelvic floor muscles included, which I love that people walk so much around here. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it has a big component to it, strengthening and relaxing, which is why you have great yoga instructors here, and relaxation and learning how to breathe and use the diaphragm are super important as well. So the pelvic floor is called the pelvic diaphragm. Mm. So people are learning about breathing exercises in the diaphragm, which is our huge breathing muscle like a bellow. And it domes down when you inhale, and it domes up when you exhale. It helps you to empty your lungs. Mm. So when you're working and lifting wood out there, people, no holding your breath.
Yeah,
because breathe. That pushes your organs down, and that can add to incontinence.
Wow, all this to remember.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to end our wellness talk, but how long are you in town, Dr. Collins?
I'm here for another week and a half.
Okay, and are you taking appointments?
We are, and I also wanted to let you know that there's a class at the library at 6 o'clock a week from today. There will be flyers out, and if you did a voiding diary, bring it in. I'd be happy to look at it with you, and if you have questions, call the clinic. I know this can be, you know, you need some confidentiality. We'd be happy to field any questions that you have. And I think you have the number for Body IQ if you want to give us a call at the office.
Yes, yes. And we'll let KHNS remind listeners too next week about, a week from today, about your program at the library.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this information with our listeners.
It's a pleasure. Yes. Thanks for letting me be here.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Dr. Nora Collins. She's a physical therapist from Oregon, covering for Dr. Marnie Hartman of Body IQ in Haines. You can visit their website and get information if you'd like to make an appointment or ask further questions. You're listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Clukwan Community Radio for the Upper Lynn Canal. It's 9:02. I'm going to get the community calendar ready and be right back and share that with you.